You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Tyler Booker, the offensive lineman, recently named one of the top offensive linemen in the upcoming season. He was a freshman All-SEC. I mean, the accolades will take us too long, and Tyler's got things to do. So let me just say hello to you, Tyler, and thanks for making time for us.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, thank you for having me. Such an honor to be on the show. Glad to be able to talk.
We are really excited and have been looking forward to chatting. I mentioned all these things. I mean, you were when you signed with Alabama, you were considered the preeminent lineman. You're nothing has really changed. I know that never gets old. Not that you're given these things, you earn them. But when you hear all these people talking about you, how do you feel?
Honestly, it feels great just to know that my hard work is being recognized. But ultimately, it just reminds me that I have to keep going and keep working hard to hear better things about me in the future.
I'm going to save the conversation for the upcoming season for a minute, because I know any player for Nick Saban is trained not to say anything other than we're looking forward to the first game. So unless you want to change that, I do want to talk a little bit about growing up. You grew up on the East Coast in Connecticut. That's a long way from sweet home Alabama, isn't it?
It is a long way, but my journey here is very different, and I'm very appreciative of how it went. So I grew up in New Haven, Connecticut, born and raised. I played football in New Haven, Connecticut, but my uncle, he actually played for Coach Saban when he was at Michigan State sometime around the 2000s. So football has been in my blood, and I've always loved it. And even growing up, I came to the Nick Saban football camps, went about 3 years in a row. So just as soon as I stepped on campus for the first time in Tuscaloosa, I always knew I wanted to call Alabama home. I just had to keep the people who do the crystal balls guessing. But I always knew that Tuscaloosa was home for me. Yeah, but before I made it out here to Tuscaloosa, I was at IMG Academy for a while.
There's a former Heisman Trophy winner from Alabama, way too far back for you to even remember, 2009, named Mark Ingram, whose father played for Coach Saban at Michigan State, too. And I remember talking to him about that connection. And we forget that Nick Saban, started his career as a head coach up there. So that's an interesting connection. I want to ask you about that camp. I hung out with Coach Saban there a couple of years ago, and it was exhausting just to walk around. And these were young guys. How old were you when you first started coming to that camp?
The first year I came to the Nick Saban football camp, I was 11. So I went from the ages of 11, 12, and 13. I went all three of those years. And it's actually funny because once I got here, the first major initiation, people call it, is fourth quarter. And I'm doing a lot of fourth quarter drills. I'm like, man, like it's tough, but I feel like a lot of these are familiar. The following summer came and I realized all the fourth quarter drills are what the campers are being put through. So anybody that comes to the Nick Saban football camp is going to get a lot of good work.
How, you're 11 years old, and there's Nick Saban in the straw hat in the middle of the Alabama sun. How was that intimidating for you? What was it like when you finally came in contact with him?
It was really amazing, you know. I remember a vivid memory that I have. This was back when I was a lot skinnier, so I played defensive line, and we were doing drills where we flip our hips through the bag, and I was always very intimate about being first in line, always wanted to be first, always wanted to be a leader because my parents always told me somebody's watching. I remember I did the drill really well, and Coach Saban had me do it again. He said, do it like this guy, do it like Booker, because our names were on the back of our helmets. So it's really surreal to hear him call my name today whenever we're in meetings or wherever we're on the field, good or bad, just because I remember that first moment that he and I had.
Tyler, obviously you could have gone anywhere. I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, how, was it? Did you decide fairly early on that you wanted to come back to Tuscaloosa, where you used to spend the summers, or was it a tough call?
It was a really tough call. I built a lot of great relationships with a lot of schools over the recruiting process, but like I mentioned earlier, I went to IMG Academy, and guys that go to IMG Academy and continue their career at the University of Alabama, there's really a seamless transition. And somebody that I looked to for that was Evan Neal, and he really told me that once he got to Bama, it was just IMG, but just on a just way more intense. So being at IMG, it almost felt like I was in college already. So once, as soon as I got to Bama, it felt like I knew what to do. It's just got to turn it up. You're just playing with grown men now.
Talking to Tyler Booker, the all-everything offensive lineman at the university. One thing that's been so interesting, Tyler, for us, and I say us in the media because we have no idea what's going on, and I'm sure you're not going to tell us, but the quarterback competition is getting all the attention. What do you guys, I mean, are you watching that? I mean, you're too big. I mean, obviously, you're not very far from it every day in practice. So what is that like with the media obsessing over that? Take us inside that huddle, and what's it like for you?
It's really funny because people ask me this question all the time. Who throws a better ball? Who runs better? Who does this better? Who does that better? We run so many plays during practice, it's hard to remember who was the quarterback on each drive, and Coach Saban does a great job of rotating those guys in, getting everybody an opportunity to throw the ball and be protected by the first offensive line, whoever that may be. So we really don't know. So it's always funny hearing, like, oh, who does this? Who does this? Like, I really don't know until we watch the film. But all three of those guys are working really hard. They're all doing great, and they're all doing a great job of really encouraging each other. Like, there's no bad blood in that room at all. So when you want to see your peers succeed, that's how the whole room elevates. So we're in good hands no matter who's going to be the quarterback.
So I guess the in other words, you're not going to tell us who the starting quarterback is going to be, are you?
Mr. Feinbaum, you know I can't do that.
That's funny. I don't know. I know you've got a long future ahead in the NFL, but the day that NFL career ends, you better get a TV job. You're going to be hilarious on television.
You know, I've really been looking forward to it. Michael Strahan actually came and spoke to us a few weeks ago. And ever since he came in, I thought about making a TV appearance after my playing day is over.
Well, you would be great. And there aren't enough linemen on TV. They way too often go to the quarterback, the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's. And we need to see some more offensive linemen telling us what really happens and how those expensive quarterbacks are protected. So let's talk about camp. And you know, it's hard to believe some of the things I'm hearing about Alabama. You know, chip on the shoulder, it's a different attitude. I mean, Alabama finished fifth in the country last year, second the year before, and first the year before that. What's it been like, and what are the themes that you are hearing from your teammates and especially your coaches?
A real theme that I keep hearing that we as leaders on the team keep reiterating is getting back to the Alabama way of play, being nasty, being physical, and being dominant in all facets of the game, but especially within the offensive line room with Coach Wolf. We want to make people quit. We want to be able to turn on the film and see, okay, this is the play where this guy quits. And there's no better way to do that than running the ball. And with the addition of Coach Reese, he has a lot of great ways of disguising runs and just putting us in positions to really take advantage of what the defense puts in front of us. But as a team overall, we want to get back to that old Alabama way of play. And as you mentioned, we haven't finished bad at all in the rankings for other people's standards. But for our standard, the only respectable ranking for us is number one at the end of the year.
I remember being in Nashville a couple weeks ago, and JC, one of your running mates, you know, it seemed like, you know, people are disrespecting us. I mean, I was a little surprised to hear that. And we had Coach Saban up, and I asked him about that, and you could tell he liked that kind of conversation. Do you guys really feel disrespected because there's so much conversation about what Georgia is doing down the street?
We do, but the thing about us, we know how to channel that energy. It's like, okay, it's just up to us to remind the country who we are.
Explain something to me, because I've heard Coach Saban actually said it the day he got to Alabama that we literally want people to quit. That's how dominating. And for those of us who don't know what it's like to block on the offensive line, help us understand. You know, when you talk about that, is that just out physicaling somebody? What is it?
Out physicaling somebody, but most importantly, mentally. Like you can see the look in another man's eye when he's had enough. He might limp a little bit. He's not coming off the ball with the same strike that he had, and you could just feel it. And that's why running the ball is the best way to make somebody quit, you know? Because when you feel all 350 pounds of me on you every single play, like you only take so much of it, you know? And just being in your face, dominant all the time, there's only so much a person could take. So the faster we make people quit, the faster we get back to playing Alabama football.
Tyler, once you know that's happened in the game, whenever it is, what happens to you then? I mean, do you just turn it up a notch and yeah, I mean, what is that experience like?
Like you said, I turn it up a notch. I play 100% at all times, but it's just when you see that you've made another man quit, you made another man give up, get out of character, you just know you have so much power over him, and that just it just gives you another mental boost. Like, oh, I have him. Like I own him. Between the lines, I own him every play. So that's what we want to get back to.
Tyler, having heard that from you, remind me never to make you upset with me. I don't want any part of that. hey, listen, we'll let you get back and get back to preparation. But thank you again. This has been so much fun for us.
Thank you. Likewise. Thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to talking to you again.
I can't wait. You're welcome anytime. One of our more enjoyable conversations of the year. Tyler Booker, the offensive lineman from the University of Alabama. We'll be right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Hope you had a good conversation, enjoyed the conversation with Tyler. We certainly did. Mike is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how's it going today, Paul?
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Georgia backfield, but I want to say something about Coach Lee, man. I love that look he's got going on, man.
Yeah, he's great.
That's pretty cool. He's just pretty – you should go with that, man. Get the Kevin Malone thing going and then get the whole bald wax thing. Of course, you might look too much like the Raging Cajun, James Carville. So you might – but you probably wouldn't have to buy another meal.
No one looks like James Carville other than James Carville.
Hey, let me ask you something. It's just terrible. You know, I was really looking forward to Branson Robinson this year because, I mean, there's times he looked like Nick Chubb. I mean, the way he can his strength and cutback ability and speed, and I think that's a big blow. And with everybody hurt, let me ask you something. How about what do you think Mike Bobo might get a little creative if they don't get everybody healthy and maybe stick Clark Kent as your guest yesterday thought of sticking Mattel back a little bit?
It could happen.
Bowers, you know, played tailback in that. He runs a 4.5 and you got a body like Henry.
I would use Bowers on every play.
Yeah, get him the ball however you can. And third down back, put him in the backfield. You get Delp on one side, Lawson Lucky on the other, two tight ends. Yeah, I mean, and then not to mention his Heisman status would rise exponentially if he's got 400 or 500 yards rushing along with 1,000 yards receiving, you know. But, yeah, getting the ball when you can. Line him up in the backfield some. He already does a bunch of end-arounds anyway, right?
Turn him into Tim Tebow, 2023. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Bob is in Missouri. Hello, Bob.
Hey, this is Tom from Missouri.
Good.
Hey, got a question. First-time caller, long-time listener. Missouri football this year, Paul. How's it going to be? And is Coach Drinkwitz on the way out if he doesn't have a good year?
Well, let's think positive thoughts. I think they're primed to maybe break out this year. They have the schedule that fits what they need. They have the quarterback. They have a really good defense. And I think if Drink can win a game or two that maybe others consider to be in the loss column, he'll end that conversation about being on the hot seat. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Austin is in Texas. Good afternoon, Austin.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. I
wanted to get your opinion on Nebraska and just, you know, the hiring of Matt Rhule. And if you think Nebraska finally has made, you know, the right decision for our coach. So just wanted to get your opinion.
I think Matt Rhule is a phenomenal college football coach. And I hope he's the right choice because if he isn't, they might as well just shut the program down. Nobody will be able to do it. I thought Scott Frost could do it, but he clearly couldn't. And Rhule is bringing in some players that are necessary. They've got to turn some games and get some momentum and just simply quit losing every game on the final series. I think he will. I think he will do it in time. Jason is in Detroit. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
I just two
quick questions for you. All right, for one, do you think it's deserving that the University of Michigan is ranked number two? And do you think on a neutral field, if they play Alabama, LSU, and USC out of SEC, how would the results be? Because from my gathering, irregardless, J.J. McCarthy is still not proven to be a great quarterback. He has issues with his accuracy. He can throw the long ball, but we haven't seen him cut it in the middle. So my question is, do you think Michigan is ranked given too much favor because of the season they had last year?
Yeah, of course they are. I think Michigan would lose to Georgia, LSU, and Alabama in the SEC on a neutral field, and I think you're right. I would have them losing to Southern Cal. You know, the Ohio State thing, it's, you know, I'll let that play out this year in Ann Arbor, but I think they're overranked. I mean, some of my colleagues who have them ranked number one. The problem for Michigan is it will be so long before we can tell. I don't see any game in the first half of the season that's remotely interesting. It's essentially a three-game season for Michigan. It's at Penn State, at Maryland, and Ohio State.
Okay, and last question here. My top four that I have, and if you agree with them or disagree, is Georgia in the college football playoffs, Georgia, LSU, Penn State, and Clemson. What do you think about that?
I like two of those. I do like Clemson, and obviously I like Georgia. I'm not as sold on LSU getting to the playoff, and Penn State's interesting. They're long due for for a big win, and they have the opportunity this year with if they can beat Michigan at home, I think they'll have an outside shot. Thanks so much for the call. Rustler in Virginia, you're on the air. Hello, Rustler.
Yes, sir, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
AC there. Then I hear one of your callers there a couple of weeks ago said he's a few bricks short of the load.
I heard that exactly.
His load, he ain't got a load. He's empty. He's just a noxious Yankee from New Jersey. Go Cox, thank you.
I hear no dissent. Randy is up next in Memphis. Hello, Randy.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. This is Randy from Memphis, Tennessee, with the South African wife.
Oh, well, it's great to hear from you.
I love calling in. Hey, listen, we're going to have some fun. I'll be quick, and I'll be really quick. Hey, listen, I'm with my buddies here in Marion, Arkansas. We're playing golf. There's 12 of us, and they said, you don't call in. I said, yes, I do. I do a call in. I do call in. I love it. I love it. They're all Arkansas Razorback fans, and they all love you, and we're all we got you in the clubhouse right now on the show, so it's awesome. But listen, me and my buddies, we were in Sandestin, Florida, and we played Kelly's Plantation in Destin, and we played golf with them. We went to the beach, and the tide would come in, and you couldn't find the seashells. But when the tide would go out, you'd find all the seashells you wanted to. So what I'm saying is, the point is, Alabama, you can go get all the tickets you want because the tide is going out. And I'm going to make a very quick prediction. And I'm an Arkansas fan. I hate even doing this. Texas A&M is going to win it. LSU will be number two. Arkansas will be number three. Ole Miss will be number four. And the almighty Alabama will be number five in the West this year. I love you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Randy. Sounds like the 19th hole has been serving a lot of alcohol. Mrs. Tanner is up next.
Hey, Paul.
Hello.
Hey, I'm in Birmingham. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Oh, good. I enjoy your show. I've been watching it for years. Anyway, you know, the quarterback situation in Alabama, I know, is up there. But do you think he's going to start one and then play two that game, first game?
Oh, yeah.
There's
no doubt he'll play two, and I think he'd like to probably even play more than that. But right now, it seems like this week he's focusing in on Milroe and Buckner. That could change this weekend, but this is the latest from Tuscaloosa.
Okay. I appreciate it. Roll Tide. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Stuart Mandel, what does he think about the Crimson Tide and a few other schools? If you're a Florida fan, I hate to ask you to turn the sound down, but you might do it for your own health.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Stuart Mandel with The Athletic is out with his predictions. You see Georgia, Tennessee, no big surprise there. A lot of teams at 8-4, Vanderbilt. And there's a shocker at the bottom, Florida at 3-9. Let's get over to the west side. LSU, the favorite. LSU 5-3 in the conference. That is the one that we want to talk about as we say hello to Stuart Mandel. Stuart, thanks for the time. A lot to unpack here, but why don't we start with Bama losing three conference games? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Not a prediction you take you make with without realizing the potential for Nick Saban to make you look really, really dumb, as he has done many times before. But all offseason, I've been trying to talk myself into what is it about this Alabama team? If we didn't know that they had wore Alabama jerseys, but it was this personnel, and they've lost the number one pick in the draft at quarterback, the number 12 pick in the draft at running back, and Will Anderson, and has such uncertainty at quarterback that Nick Saban brought in a transfer from Notre Dame after spring practice, and he hasn't managed to win the job. Why would I predict this team to go 11-2 again, like they always do? I don't see it. Not to say it's impossible, but this looks like a pretty flawed team that has a chance to be his worst team, relatively speaking. 9-3 is not bad. His worst team since 2010. And I'm very curious to see week one, but especially week two against Texas, how Jalen Milroe looks, how the other quarterbacks he might put out there look, because that has a big thing to do with that projection.
So, Stuart, I think I would have understood a little bit easier if they'd lost to Texas, but you apparently have them winning that game, do you not, and then losing three conference games. Explain.
It's a tough conference, as you can see by the predicted standings there. I mean, part of it is I'm just a real big believer in LSU. I mean, in contrast to Alabama, I struggle to find weak spots on LSU. I'm a big believer in Jaden Daniels. I think that defense is stacked top to bottom. When you're picking up Notre Dame's leading rusher as a transfer and he's only going to be one of three or four guys touching the ball, you know, that's a pretty good sign. But you've also got in this conference a Tennessee team that has gotten much better, an A&M team that I think will bounce back this year. Ole Miss is always going to be dangerous, Lane Kiffin. So it doesn't feel like 2-3 years ago when Alabama could just roll out the ball and 7 of the 8 teams on their conference schedule, you knew they were going to beat. There's going to be a lot of toss-up games or swing games, as you would say, over the course of that season.
So, Stuart, since you did the predicting, which three conference games does Alabama lose?
No, you're putting me on the spot. I don't have the schedule right out in front of me.
I can help. I'll be happy to help you because we do have the schedule. And so you have them beating Texas, I presume, based on what you said. And here's the schedule after that. Conference games, home game at Ole Miss, road game at Mississippi State, road game at A&M, Arkansas at home, Tennessee at home, LSU at home, November 11th at Kentucky, and November 25th at Auburn. I hope that helped.
I believe the three I had were at A&M, LSU, and because Hugh Freeze has always been a thorn in Nick Saban's side, the Iron Bowl.
So, Stuart, you
will make me very popular in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, it does. You talked about what you saw from LSU and how they don't have a weakness, and that's why you picked them to beat Alabama to win the division. What do you see in Auburn that would convince you that Auburn is going to beat Alabama in that final game? And yeah, we all know about that game. We've been there a few times.
Yeah, that game's 3 months away. None of us really know what those teams will look like. I think that Hugh Freeze, I don't know why it's gone under the radar so much in terms of the offseason hires. Was one of the biggest impact hires out there. He's a proven winner in the SEC. He's a great offensive coach. Does he have the personnel to, for instance, do what Gus Malzahn did his first season at Auburn back then? No, I don't think so. I did see Peyton Thorne perform at a pretty high level at Michigan State 2 years ago, so I think that was a good pickup. So I said in that same column, nobody looks below the actual table with the standings, but
no.
One of the categories I had was complete wild cards, Auburn and A&M. There's a wide range of outcomes for Auburn. I don't have a great sense, and this is becoming, by the way, harder and harder to make predictions in college football in the preseason, the transfer portal. So many of these teams are going to look so different because of the guys they lost and the guys they brought in, and Auburn has a lot of those. But if the talent level is at least decent, and I think it will be, I expect him to pull a couple surprises over the course of the year.
Let's get to the other side. And this one really shocked me. I expect Florida to have problems this year because of the schedule opening at Utah and everyone else included, but 3-9. We'll put the Florida schedule up on the board in a minute just to help refresh. And I
don't make me pick all the games.
I don't want to hear 9 losses. But I do understand, Stuart, that when you make these predictions, you're doing many, so you're not. So the schedule, for those who don't know, Utah starts it off, home game at Tennessee, with Tennessee, at Kentucky, Vandy, at South Carolina, Georgia, Jacksonville, Arkansas at home, at LSU, at Florida, at Missouri, and at Florida State. 3-9 is simply an unbelievable prediction for the University of Florida. A lot of people are watching Swamp Kings right now and are reliving the glory days of Urban Meyer. So how do you arrive on that?
Yeah, if that comes true, and of course the chances it will, now that I put it out there, are very high. It would be their worst season since 1979. But so the starting point is Florida had a losing record the last 2 years. They are replacing the number 4 pick in the draft at quarterback with a guy from Wisconsin. And I don't like to criticize college players, but I would just say go look up the stats, the production over the course of his 3 years there. And also, you know, look at, as you said, a really tough schedule. You got two, you know, just bad luck, but you're playing at the 2-time Pac-12 champion. You're going to play a Florida State team at the end of the year that I'm picking to win the ACC, as a lot of people are. You have the 2-time national champions in your division. You have a Tennessee program that I think is, you know, under Josh Heupel, heading in the right direction. In fact, as I look down that list of SEC East programs, if you just kind of play a quick game of, is this program on the upswing, around, staying around where they are on the downswing? Tennessee, upswing. South Carolina, upswing. Missouri, in my opinion, could be wrong, upswing. Kentucky, around the same, if not better. Vanderbilt, even if it's just a little bit, I think is a little bit on the right direction. So combination of not a great year personnel-wise for Florida to begin with, and a tough year in their own division, which has often, as you know, the SEC East has often been a laughingstock. I don't think it is anymore. I think there's a lot of good programs in that division.
Stuart, before you go, we thought – realignment had ended for the year. Maybe it hasn't, based on all this reporting from your outfit and others about the fact the ACC is seriously considering, may even vote in a couple of days, to include Stanford, California, and SMU. Your thoughts?
It's as I described it yesterday in a column, a marriage of mutual desperation. I mean, these Cal and Stanford basically need a bailout after what's happened with the destruction of their conference. These are two, forget football, these are two programs that need Power 5 money to fund all of their other sports that win national championships and go to Final Fours. And if they end up left in the scrap heap in the Mountain West, that's going to be the end of all of that. So that's their desperation. And the ACC, you wouldn't think, would be in a desperate state. They have a grant of rights that goes till 2036. There's no, you know, no TV deals are falling apart there. But you've got your, you know, one of your two marquee schools out there publicly threatening to leave if they don't make more money. And so it seems to me, based on what I've heard, what my colleagues have reported, that the way that the ACC is going to attempt to rectify that is to bring in these three new schools at a reduced share, or in SMU's case, they're willing to come for free. ESPN has to pay a pro rata per their contract for each of these schools. So you're taking a full share from three schools, and you're giving those schools just a little bit of it. You're taking the rest and distributing it to your current members. And so there's a chance, there's a chance Florida State, Clemson, if they perform on the field, it's going to be performance-based, can make an extra $10 million a year off this. Basically, Cal, it's a big redistribution plan. We're going to take these three teams in basically for the sole purpose of making a little extra money we can give to our current schools. It's, I don't like it. This is not what college sports should be. Cal and Stanford should not be flying across the country to play Miami or Pitt or Boston College in sporting events. But it is where we are. An entire major conference has been blown off the map because they couldn't get enough TV money. And it's everybody's in scramble mode now, and that includes the ACC because they see what happened to the Pac-12. Pac-12 had chances over the years to add members and decline. They had a bit of an overinflated expectation of themselves in the TV market, and it came back to bite them. So I think a lot of people in the ACC see this as like We're doing something proactive to try to keep it the same thing from happening to us a few years down the road.
Stuart Mandel from The Athletic. Thank you very much, Stuart. Quite a conversation about myriad subjects. We appreciate Stuart joining us again. If you missed it, predicting Alabama to lose 3 SEC games. He predicted Florida to go 3-9. We'll take a short break and get your reaction to all of that in just a moment.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Glad to have all of you with us as we continue. And Logan is up next in Alabama. Hello, Logan.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. I want to say great show so far today. I really enjoyed that interview with Tyler Booker. What an intelligent young guy. Sounded really good, and hopefully he knows what's going on, and we're going to have a good season. I just wanted to ask you, I heard yesterday that Eli Gold was not going to be doing the away games. Have you heard any other news about that, or have you found out did he have a setback or anything like that?
I can tell you with great authority, he has not had any setback. In fact, he has done extremely well. He's done some practices and some scrimmages. This was apparently a decision made higher up, like athletic director level, and for whatever reason, and I don't have an explanation, Logan, that Greg Byrne decided, that ultimately he did not want Eli doing the road games, and Chris Stewart has been given that responsibility. You can read a lot into this, and I know a lot of people are saying, well, you know, let Eli come back gracefully, but that's not how you do it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, the guy did the best he could, but. I mean, Eli isn't—he's just not replaceable. You know?
And by the way, we're not talking about trips to Hawaii and road games across to California. Alabama's road games this year are Tampa, which is an hour and 10-minute flight; Starkville, which, as you know, is a hour and a half drive from Tuscaloosa; College Station. And Auburn. So of those four road games, Lexington as well, two of those are drives. I mean, how tough could that be?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I'm not sure what's going on there, Paul, but that
is
unfortunate.
I think you have to read something into it, because when we talked to Eli, 3 weeks ago, he was coming back. There were no restrictions. He was feeling great. He had never felt better in terms of during this incredible odyssey. So, yeah, I mean, this sounds like a power move by the athletic director.
Well, that's unfortunate. Yeah, I mean, everything sounded good to go. I mean, it was a great interview you had with him, and I was looking forward to him coming back. So I guess there'll be more. We'll try to get to the bottom of that.
Logan, let me help. You're not going to get to the bottom of it because nobody's going to say anything about it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's one of those network power moves, I guess, or the school power moves. Hey, let me say something about that Stuart Mandel guy. Is it just me, or did it seem like he didn't even believe his own prediction? Like he was trying to find three losses.
I was with Stuart on Alabama. I mean, if he had said Texas A&M and LSU, you go, you know what? I get it. But how in the world do you come up with Auburn?
Exactly. It's like, man, it's like he ran out of teams, and he's like, oh, I got to come up with another loss. So let's
so you have Alabama. You have Alabama beating Texas. You have Alabama beating Tennessee. But you don't have them beating Auburn.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing, man? I mean, Auburn's
and you're
be better.
You're basing it on the fact that Hugh Freeze is a great coach. We all know that, okay? But are you going to compare? And the thing that bugged me about what he said, he was talking about how the reason I'm going with LSU over Alabama is the roster. I mean, they don't have any weaknesses. Does Auburn have any weaknesses?
Yeah, I think so. Like their whole defense. I don't know, Paul. Just that did seem like he didn't do his homework. Like he came there unprepared. But hey, let me ask you one more thing. Have you heard from Jim today?
That would be a big no.
Okay, it's a big day for him. His hero is getting booked into the Fulton County Jail tonight. So I didn't know if he was what was going on. If he was in some emotional turmoil, but I was just curious to see if you'd heard from that old son of a gun today.
I'm sure he's busy right now.
He's probably watching OAN or whatever, one of those extreme right-wing channels. But, hey, Paul, it's good to talk
Thanks
to you. It's been a little while, buddy.
Great to hear from you. We'll take a break. We have reached the halfway point of our program. Don't forget Griff coming up in a few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.